In that reading from Mark's Gospel, we see that mothers brought their babies to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that scene is found in three of the four Gospels. It's found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Three times the Gospel reminds us that these mothers brought their babies to the Lord Jesus. Now, there's two things I want you to notice. If you follow the reading, first of all, someone will say to me, it doesn't say mothers. Did you notice that? It doesn't say whether it was the mothers or the fathers. So you might say, oh, you made a mistake there. But, you know, Luke, when Luke records this, he uses the word that means a newborn baby. Actually, the word that Luke uses can even mean the baby in the womb. But the point he's making is that these were newborn or tiny infants who were brought to our Lord Jesus. And so you can understand, can't you, that it would have been the mothers that brought them, because they were absolutely dependent upon their mothers. And the second thing I want you to notice, which is not in the reading, but it's important, where Jesus was. Where was he? Well, the Gospel tells us that he had been teaching and doing miracles in around the Sea of Galilee. But now he had walked down to a place that's called, it's in Judea, but it's the other side of the Jordan. So he was, in one sense, across the Jordan, which is quite desert-like. And that was about 80 miles from, he'd walked 80 miles down, and from Jerusalem it was about 25 miles. So he was out there in the desert. And that's important, because the Gospel tells us that even though he was out there, multitudes followed him. That means that there were crowds and crowds of people who had taken the trouble to go from Galilee down to that desert place across the Jordan. They were following and seeking the Lord Jesus. Now, I want to ask the question, particularly about these mothers. Why did they come to Jesus? What did they want from him? Well, the Gospel tells us they wanted him to touch their babies. All that journey because they wanted the Lord to touch their babies. That's what they wanted. And in Matthew says they wanted him to pray for them too. But think about it. Why would they come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why to him? Well, we know that they had heard him teaching. But more than that, and they found his teaching was amazing, wonderful, different from everyone else's. But more than that, they had seen many of the miracles that he had done. Imagine it. Some of them might have been in the crowd when he fed 5,000 men and the women and children as well, fed them. Perhaps some of them had seen friends or neighbors bring their sick family members to the Lord, and he had healed them. They had even seen him cast out demons. More than that, some of them would have heard, perhaps they were there at the wedding, when he turned the water to wine. They may have heard that on one occasion when the Sea of Galilee was stormy, think, he stilled the storm with a word. He commanded the wind to stop and the sea to be calm. You notice, he did that with a word. He spoke and the elements obeyed him. Some of them may have known that he raised the dead. And with all of this in their minds, they sought him. Can you see that thinking about him and taking that long journey, they clearly believed that the Lord Jesus Christ could bless their babies. They believed that. They would have said to you, had they not believed that, it's not worth the effort to walk from Galilee down to that desert place. It was worth the effort to bring their babies to the Lord Jesus, because they knew, they believed that he could bless their children. What did they understand? Well, we don't know how much they understood, but we do. We know that there in Christ, God was in the midst. He is given the name Emmanuel. God is with us. There before them was the Messiah that they had waited for through the centuries, the Messiah. And remember that the Messiah was the one who was anointed himself with the Spirit of God. Perhaps some of them had been by the Jordan when the Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove and God spoke from heaven. But not only that, John the Baptist said about him that this is the one who baptizes you with the Holy Spirit. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So that's why they came. However great or small, they grasped those truths. They knew that he could bless their children, and it was worth the effort to come to him. Well, what did, secondly, and really finally, I suppose, what did Jesus do when they brought their babies to him? Well, Mark, Luke, Matthew, they tell us what he did. He did much more than touch them. They asked him to touch them. It says he took them up in his arms. And not only did he touch them, but he laid his hands upon them. And he blessed them. You see, when he laid his hands upon them, he did what a father would do to his son or his child. It was the symbol of blessing those children. The mothers could see it. The crowd could see it. He is blessing the little children. And I want you to understand this morning that when Jesus blessed those little children, it was not mere empty words. Okay? He wasn't saying to them, I wish you well. I hope you have a good life. It wasn't empty words. We need to understand that the word of the Lord Jesus Christ is creative. It is effective. He was the one who at creation, the Bible says, he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood forth. He was the one who said in the darkness, let there be light, and there was light. This is the one who was speaking the blessing on those children. He never spoke in vain. Our Lord Jesus Christ never uttered empty words. And we can go on just briefly and ask about this blessing. What is this blessing that they wanted? What is the blessing that he gave? Well, I want to say to you this morning that the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ is unique in this whole world. There is no one who blesses as he does, because his blessing is fundamentally to give to a person the Holy Spirit. Think about that. That through the command of Christ, the Spirit of God is given to a man. To put it another way, God enters that man's life and heart. What do you want from God? What do you want from God? What do you want from Jesus Christ? You can come and you can ask. What do you want? Do you want wealth? Is that what you would ask for? Wealth? Or do you want health? Do you want fame and success? What do you want from Jesus Christ? I tell you, the great gift that he gives is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, is the one who can come and, as it were, apply the blood of Christ, which he shed at Calvary for the sins of his people. He is the one who can apply that to your souls. He is the one who can bring into your heart spiritual life. Every person born into this world is born in sin. We all come from the fall of Adam. We're all affected by the fall of Adam. Even King David, the psalmist, he said, "I was born in iniquity. I was born in sin." And we need to ask the question, how can we, who are sinners, who deserve the judgment of God, how can we be rescued from that? There is one who rescues us. One, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who went to the cross at Calvary to suffer for the sins of his people. That's what he did. And the same Son of God who loved me, Paul says he loved me and he gave himself for me. That same Son of God is the one who blesses those who come to him with his Holy Spirit. Christ alone is able to deliver every person from sin before the sight of God. Christ alone is the one who gives the Holy Spirit to apply his sacrificial blood. It is through Christ alone that we are adopted as sons of God. Well, what should we do with this morning? First of all, let these mothers teach us. Okay? I tell you, these women who brought their babies to our Lord Jesus were the wisest women in the world. They did something amazing for their children. The wisest thing that any mother or father can do is to bring their baby, their child, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how are we going to do that? How do we do that today? Jesus is in heaven. He will return. He is in heaven. But he has given us his word. He has given us his church. He has promised, where two or three are gathered together, I will be in the midst. If you want to bring your child to the Lord for blessing, open the Bible before him at home. Bring him to the church where he will hear the Bible read and taught. Let him grow up as a child instructed in the truth, the only truth of salvation. But that's all very well for children. What about the rest of us? Did you notice what Jesus said in that reading in Mark's Gospel? He says, "Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." Does that mean that if you're an older person and you're not a Christian, you're lost? No, it's not too late. You're not lost. What he says is, you must come as a little child. In other words, he says, like those mothers brought their children to Jesus, bring yourself to him as a child. Come humbly before him and ask him what your soul needs more than anything else in this world. You need to have the Lord Jesus. You need to be ready for the time when your life ends and you stand before him. There is an eternity ahead. Whenever I baptize any child here, and whenever I speak to parents who bring their children for baptism, I think about where that child will be in 70 years' time. Where will little Anthony be in 70 years' time? Most of us won't be here. What kind of life will he have led? What truth, what principles will have guided him through life, steered him away from the dangers, brought him close to Christ? What is it that will guide him and make him ready to face Jesus Christ when he returns in glory? It is the commandments of Christ. It is the gospel of Christ, the instruction of Christ, and the inner work of the Holy Spirit. And may God bless you all this morning, and particularly this dear family as we come to the time of baptism. Amen.